The upcoming presidential election and campaign coverage is being credited in part for increasing the ratings for cable news networks. Are you watching more cable news these days for your daily political fix? Where are you getting most of your news? Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 10 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Friday, June the 20th. And we want to know your favorite sources for political news, election news. What do you think or where do you think you can find the best coverage? Do you have a favorite source? We are not fishing for compliments. Or gripes, for that matter, about the coverage you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio. We take it as a given that you get some of your election-related or campaign news from us. But where else? We'll keep track and we will post your favorite sources for news on our website after the program so all of us can benefit on your find. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Looking for your favorite news sources for political news or campaign news. In Madison, call 263-1890 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Dave Berkman, retired professor of journalism and mass communication at UW-Milwaukee. He is currently a weekly panelist on the Thursday Week in Review program on Milwaukee's Black radio station, talk station, WMCS-AM. Good morning, Dave.
Morning.
So, Dave, where do you get your campaign news? You consume about everything, right?
Yeah, mainly television and news, but I newspapers, but I, you know, keep in mind I'm retired.
Yeah.
But I will TiVo through all about 15 hours of political coverage a day, you know, actually watching about five. And I subscribe to three dailies. The changes we're seeing, I think I can sum up in four sentences. Internet up, newspapers down, preferences within TV showing major shifts, and most of these changes being driven by the young, that is those arbitrarily, let's say, 18 to 34. Big differences by age. Last year, for example, those 18 to 34 spent 18 minutes a day with newspapers. Those over 65, 2.5 times as much, 43 minutes. Those under... those under 18 spent, let's see, am I getting this correct here? Let me start again. For 18 to 34s, it was 18 minutes a day in newspapers, 145 online. For those over 65, 43 minutes per day spent with papers, which is 2.5 times as much. 48 minutes online, which is only about one-third as much.
Yeah.
So big differences.
Yeah, but not a big surprise. Young people like the internet more than they like the daily newspaper, and old people the opposite.
Yeah, I came across a figure yesterday which absolutely blew me away. You know that black-eyed peas takeoff on the Obama Yes We Can slogan? The video of that they made of that now has a log 25 million viewers, almost all of them in that 18 to 34 age group.
What about the you know, the TV stuff?
Okay, TV is still the predominant source of news for all Americans. One reason, as you alluded to at the opening, has been the big uptick in cable news. A lot of that the result of the lack of scripted programming during the 14-week writer's strike. So lots of cable surfing took place, and a lot of those folks, quote, discovered, unquote, the cable news channels and have stayed tuned. And as a result, their viewership is up by some 50%. But the proof of the primacy of TV is why we are going to be subject to perhaps $300 million more in TV ads before November from the Obama campaign, which is, you know, given its expected ability to raise $300 million for the national campaign against the $225 million that he raised for the the primaries.
Fewer were. This is from the poll that was done by the UW-Madison Political Science Department for WisPolitics.com. One of the results I see here is that only 12% of the respondents of this poll say they depend on or listen to talk radio on a daily basis. Only 12%. So that was one of the smallest percentages in terms of where people get their political news. Do you know any radio stats?
Well, what you have with ideological talk radio was really fixed almost two decades ago. It tends to predominate among those on the right, and poll after poll after poll, we've discussed this many times on this show, has shown that almost all those who tune in are ideologically already in tune,
mm-hmm.
so that, you know, the Limbaughs and locally the Charlie Sykeses are preaching to the converted.
We are talking about where you get your news about politics and the upcoming election, and we're looking for your favorite sources, from specific websites that you frequent to specific TV shows to the best newspapers as far as you're concerned, or even blogs. 1-800-642-1234, our toll-free number. Our lines are full at the moment, but we welcome you to send an email if you'd like to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Dave Berkman, and I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Do you watch the news that we're watching?
No.
In the United States? Do
No.
you see what we're hearing about the war? Do you?
No.
So we might actually know everything.
If I were to watch the news that you're hearing in the United States,
yes.
I'd just blow my brains out because it would drive me nuts.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh, that was CBS News reporter Laura Logan on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart this week, not offering a glowing critique of news coverage in this country, particularly about the war in Iraq. Where do you get your news? What sources do you trust the most? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We're talking about the most used sources for political news by people in this country, and for that matter, listeners of Wisconsin Public Radio, with Dave Berkman, who is a retired professor of mass communication at UW-Milwaukee. So, Dave, what do you make of Laura Logan on Stewart's show this week?
Well, you know, as I think I've said before, the Stewart Show, Jon Stewart builds The Daily Show as a fake newscast. It is simply the best newscast for real as opposed to fake around. And there were two wonderful examples of why I make that statement this week. One was that interview with Laura Logan, which I don't think, who was I reading yesterday who said I'd hate to be Laura Logan walking in the next morning to CBS News. And
yeah, she's not going to be
yet. City. But the other thing he did was he not only exposes the hypocrisies through his use of montages of past videos that goes on in politics. He also exposes the coverage, the fallacies in the coverage of the political scene. He did a montage on Monday in which he talked about how TV news, both the broadcast primetime newscasts and the cable networks, are constantly damning the blog sites, the politically ideological blog sites, for their spreading of false reports like about Obama's alleged Muslimism and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
He says, and they become, as a result, this is their cover for playing this stuff over and over again and probably giving it far more viewership and circulation than the hits on the blog sites do. And that is sheer hypocrisy. Look, can I make just one other point about one medium that I think is a particular concern?
Sure.
To public radio listeners, and that is what is happening to newspapers. The declines in circulation are precipitous. Let me just give you three examples from Sunday. Now, Sunday newspapers are responsible for about half the revenues that a seven-day weekly
mm-hmm.
brings in. For the first quarter of this year, as opposed to the first quarter in 2007, the New York Times is down over 9%.
Mm-hmm.
the Milwaukee Journal is now down over 4%. I could go through a whole list here. I have about 35 major dailies, and all but about two or three are showing losses. Many of them, like the New York Times Sunday loss, precipitous.
Yeah.
Right now in Chicago, you have only two newspapers, both on the verge of serious financial difficulty, if not eventual bankruptcy, being the Trib and the Sun-Times.
Yeah, that is troubling, but maybe it's down because, you know, people are instead looking on the internet.
Well, yeah, that's my point.
Mm-hmm.
The net has now almost caught up with newspapers as the prime political news source. This year it is 23% for the net versus 28% for newspapers, and you can be sure that by next year they'll be even.
Yeah, let's get some callers in who have been waiting. Daniel in Sturgeon Bay, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Yes, well, I am actually voting for Obama, but since you know my bias, I just wanted to say that my favorite news network is actually Jim Lehrer's NewsHour on PBS in Milwaukee, and also the one just before it, there's a Deutsche Welle broadcast in English, and I think they're the most less biased networks around, and I also go to the blogosphere and CNN as well, because I think there's a lot of witty comments and stuff that are just actually kind of funny, and of course, I don't take any of that sort of stuff to heart, and I take it all with a grain of salt, but if I want to learn something about a candidate, I just resort to their books to read what they have to say in their own words. So,
all right. Any comment on those, Dave?
Well, I think there is nothing that is more absurd when you're discussing news media than the idea that fair and objective news media, which usually comes down giving equal credence to lies and truths, is the best news. And I find no worst example of that than that sleep fest that passes as the Lehrer News Hour.
The sleep fest. Well, you think going to like the CNN blogosphere is a more popular and or a good source?
I don't see the difference between the CNN news online site and what they do. Now, they have been the biggest winner in cable. They've moved ahead, in fact, of Fox when it comes to drawing viewers during major political events like the primaries and whatnot. But I find, there's something almost sophomoric about what they do on CNN. Listen carefully sometimes to the intros that Wolf Blitzer does during his three-hour Situation Room stint. He's talking to, these are, by definition, sophisticated viewers. They're watching cable news. And he's talking to people, he will start announcing as a big surprise a news story that's been in the headlines for 3 weeks. We'll let you know. Yeah, I learned about that 3 days ago. And he talks to us like we're 12-year-olds.
What bugs me, and I shouldn't give opinions, but I'm going to anyway, I think it bugs a lot of people, is when you hear the best political news team on television.
It's become a joke.
Yeah.
I mean, what's interesting is Cafferty goes up to the line in saying how disgusted he is on that. The best thing on that show is the Cafferty file.
Mm. Let's go to Ken in Madison. Hi, you're on the air. Ken, hi, are you there? Ken is not there. Ken says he trusts C-SPAN and XM Radio. Any thoughts on that, Dave?
Well, I don't understand how you can trust XM Radio. Your choices, I don't have it, let me say that. But your choices, it's your choices you make. They've got 140, 150 services. I think about 30 of them are talk, and they range from extreme right to extreme left to kind of down the middle news type stuff. What did you say his other one was?
C-SPAN.
Okay, well, C-SPAN just basically points cameras.
Right, you get uncommentated
right.
Coverage. Jay from Columbus writes in an email, "My most trusted source for political news is Jon Stewart's Daily Show. My other source for news is BBC America. I do not trust any American news. They all inquirerize the facts one degree or another." What do you think?
I'm always wary of generalizations like that. BBC America is very good. Its viewership is minuscule.
Yeah. Next, we go to Kyle in Pell Lake. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
All right, well, it depends on what type of political news I want. If I just want the quick overview, the sound bites, the general what's going on in the day, I'll turn on, some cable news channels, and I'll flip around to between three or four of them. Don't really have a favorite. You can spend about a half an hour doing that, get a pretty good general overview of what's going on. But if I really want in-depth analysis and to also, sort of personally research a political issue, you definitely have to turn to the Internet. You have to go to the Internet. I like a lot of sites. There's a lot of good sites out in the blogosphere. I like to start with the Drudge Report because it's updated quite frequently and has a lot of political headlines, and I kind of wade myself around from link to link. But definitely the Internet is much better for your in-depth coverage, and your cable news is the fast food of information. It's cheap, it's quick, and in another 30 minutes, you're ready for more. So,
yeah, so Kyle,
thank you very much.
First, though, I just want to know, how old are you, Kyle?
Oh, I'm 21 years old.
Yeah. Did you guess that, Dave?
Dern youngins.
any comment? Let's talk a little bit about the Drudge Report.
It's moved a little more to the center. He knows where his audience is, and increasingly the younger and the more liberal are going to the net. Look, something we should keep in mind, we talk about the net as if it's a singularity. In fact, when it comes to tech sources, it includes a variety of sites. You've got the highly popular political sites like the Huffington Post, Politico, the Drudge Report. You have the websites maintained by the O-line media, the Washington Post, New York Times, MSNBC, CNN, which I think are the five most surfed. And then you have the ideological sites, Daily Kos on the left, Michelle Malkin on the right. So it is not a singularity. There are some very distinct types of Internet sources available, and we shouldn't confuse that.
Yeah, John in Menominee Falls. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'll just take you through my day. I start off with Morning Joe at about 5 a.m., and then as soon as I get in my car, I go to one of the talk shows on AM radio, teetering back between your show and that and their show. Get to work. I do Drudge all day. My favorite website is Newsbusters. I come home. I switch between Hardball and Brit Hume.
I'm going to guess about 28. Your age.
38. Okay.
Well, it's a busy news-consuming day, it sounds like to me. Let's talk a little bit more about those various sources that John brought up after we checked news from National Public Radio. Dave Berkman, our guest, retired professor of journalism and mass communications at UW-Milwaukee, also a panelist on the Week in Review program on a Milwaukee talk radio station, WMCS-AM. And we are looking for your favorite sources for political news and election news. Where do you look? What are your favorite sources from specific TV shows to newspapers to websites? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison 263-1890 or email us at talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
This is CNN.
The latest headlines from BBC World News.
From NPR News in Washington.
Hi, I'm Bill O'Reilly. Thank you for watching us tonight.
This is the Colbert Report.
Do you listen or watch any of those news sources to get your political fix? We are looking for your favorite news sources, especially when it comes to getting your political news, your information about the presidential election. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, talking for the rest of this hour with Dave Berkman. Dave is a retired professor of communication and mass communication, professor of journalism and mass communications at UW-Milwaukee, and our go-to guy when we talk things media quite frequently. Our next caller is Paul in Oh, I should wait on Paul because I forgot I was going to talk about our caller before the news, Dave, who had quite a busy day of news consuming where he says he starts off with Morning Joe. And I remember you telling me that you thought Morning Joe was going to be another success story for MSNBC.
It may now be, next to the Times, the single most important news agenda setting. Its viewership is still very small, about 325,000 nationally, but everybody who's anybody is tuning into it, and it has the biggest, which is why it attracts the biggest names in political affairs, that is, candidates, campaign staffers, and what have you. I will, when big events happen, I will TiVo it for the next day and watch it for, you know, with the fast-forwarding, watch it for about an hour.
Yeah, and this is the MSNBC show that took the slot of
Imus
when Imus went away. Yeah,
right.
And that's Joe Scarborough, who is, he's a former congressman, right?
A former Republican congressman hosted on a five-night-a-week show of basically political commentary. And he's a guy who, when he this goes back to his very beginnings, he puts on a different hat when he goes into political analysis, and he can be very objective, and he is often just right on top in terms of analysis and whatnot. Well, speaking of qualitative things, can I take just a moment to briefly go over four qualitative lapses that we've been seeing?
Okay.
Okay, a specific example. Yesterday's reporting on the universally labeled Obama flip-flop on campaign financing. But only Oberman pointed out that Obama had promised only to negotiate the matter with McCain, and that it was McCain who flip-flopped, opting in, then out, and finally yesterday in again when it comes to public money. Secondly, the point I mentioned earlier about Stewart's expose on how television is the medium that gives the blog lies and their distortions their biggest exposure under the guise of contemning them. Third, Chris Matthews' constant references ever since the Pennsylvania primary to what he terms and positively affirms as the regular folks. It's an affirmation of those he admits are the least educated and most racially biased white viewers. And I've seen him express this non sequitur at least 100 times. That's no exaggeration. But not once has any of his guests called him on it. And finally, probably the matter that dominated most of the primary coverage, the universally expressed concern of the commentariat about how, as many as 40% of Hillary supporters will, as they told pollsters, vote for McCain. But if you're at all politically knowledgeable, you know that in every past election, 80% of voters who say if their choice doesn't win means they'll vote for the other party have stayed with the party's nominee. And virtually no one who I caught has pointed out what a prima facie absurdity it was to give this potential outcome serious consideration. Hillary's loyalist supporters were females over 50, the first yeah. generation of feminists. And no way are they going to vote for McCain, given his record on opposing a choice. But
yeah, you heard a lot of strategists and commentators saying that, though, didn't you?
Well, that's my point, and it made for great endless talking points, hours and hours of blather. Well, what have we seen in the, 3 weeks since the campaign ended? We had a Quinnipiac poll coming out on Monday that showed in Pennsylvania, which was lost, all those white ethnics and those good white working people, Obama now has jumped to a commanding 12-point lead. He's now up in Ohio, and Quinnipiac also called him right. up in Florida, although a Rasmussen poll released this almost literally the same moment showed that he still was behind in Florida. But if you look at what's going on in Ohio and especially Pennsylvania, we see the absurdity of this.
Yeah, let's kind of go back to the one of the people you complimented for doing the right thing, and that's Keith Olbermann. I heard him not so long ago kind of boasting that he was catching up with his nemesis Bill O'Reilly in the ratings.
In the advertiser preferred demographic, which is 18 to 54, he actually moved ahead one night a week or two ago.
Yeah.
But he's almost caught up with him, and it's causing fits to O'Reilly. And, of course, O'Reilly mm-hmm. gives him all his attention, and it's been a major factor in the way his numbers have jumped. Now, he's still number I think he's now beating out CNN. But he's still well behind in the overall viewership of O'Reilly, because O'Reilly has a heavy viewership of those who are 15, especially 65.
All right, we'll go back to the phones. And now, Paul in La Crosse. Hi, you're on the air.
Thank you. But, I mean, about Morning Joe, you can't like Brzezinski. She's awful. But my comment was...
Well, I guess Paul thinks she's awful, but anyway.
Yeah,
she picked the right father.
She's terrible. She says she looks adoringly at Joe all morning. It's just sick. But
she occasionally says some nice things. Part of her problem is she's trying to mask her what is obviously her preference for Obama. And I think she often goes out of her way to do this.
Does she ever? But my favorite website is most of my news now comes from public radio, of course, but also on the internet. And there's one site that I think is just outstanding, and that's Real Clear Politics.
Yes, that is a very good one.
They go out and pick columnists from around the country mm-hmm. and from various countries around the world. So you will get, if something comes up involving France, you know, they'll pull someone out of France, or they'll take someone out of Canada, or someone out of Iraq. I mean, I get to read people talking about their own countries, and they will do a choice of, let's say, 15 columns in the morning. Then they'll underneath that they'll do what's best in the blogs. They'll do what's coming up now in all of the polls and stuff like this. It's really it's an extremely good site. They do an update in the afternoon, and if you start there and then go to your other sites, you have a much better balanced report of what's going on in the world.
Yeah, they're very good. Let me mention another site which I only discovered in the last 2 days. I don't know how I have missed it. And it's one I'm calling up constantly. It's called 538. The number is 538.com. It's a polling site that summarizes all the polling activity from the past day, state races, the national campaign, and then does some fairly sophisticated analyses and ratings of the accuracy of these polls. And it's next to Huffington Post now, probably the site that I most frequently punch up.
We will. Let me take one more call before our weather break. Carl in Duluth. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I don't know about campaign news, but when I'm interested in real politics, I go to Democracy Now. It's, they cover real, issues that none of the mass media will touch.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, if you look at why a lot of media, especially newspapers, are declining in this country, it's because people get sick of the major media, corporate media, lying to them.
Yeah. We only have a minute before the weather.
Okay, very quickly. It is a site on the left that basically preaches to the converted. Now, I happen to think that it's probably, along with Olbermann, one of the two best broadcast sites there is, but that's simply a reflection of mine, as I suspect, as well as your political biases.
Yeah, and you can listen to that online, I'm sure, and also I know that some cable stations, like in Madison, our local access station, I think, carries that, so Democracy Now! Thanks to Carl, and that's what we're looking for. What are your favorite news sources, especially when it comes to political news or campaign news? We're collecting your favorite sources, and we will post the results on our website so you can refer back. Maybe share with our listeners some favorite source of yours. Dave Berkman, our guest, retired professor of journalism and mass communications at UW-Milwaukee, a panelist on the Week in Review program on Milwaukee's talk station WMCS AM. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Or send your source via email, talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, 12 minutes before 8 o'clock. Coming up after 8, it's the Week in Review. We'll talk with two guests from different perspectives about the political news of the week in our Week in Review after 8. We are talking about where you get your news about politics and the upcoming election, looking for your favorite sources, especially interested in specific websites or specific news shows, the best newspapers or blogs, radio programs. We aren't looking for any compliments about Wisconsin Public Radio by any means. We're looking for other places where you go to get your news about politics. 1-800-642-1234, Madison 263-1890. Or talk@wpr.org. Chris in Milwaukee. Hi, you're on the air.
Can I just correct something I just said?
What did you just say, Dave?
Okay, I mislabeled the site I was talking about. It's not 536, it's 538.
Oh, I wrote down 538.
Oh, I did say that, mm-hmm. Okay. And the web address is 538, not the numbers, but spelled out, each of the three numbers spelled out, .com.
Okay, thanks for that clarification.
Right.
Okay, now I think we have Chris in Milwaukee there.
Yes, how are you doing today?
Good.
Good. Well, I'm a little bit of a political junkie. In fact, my girlfriend and most of my friends think I'm sick. But when I get up in the morning, on my computer, I've got the RSS feeds on my desktop.
What exactly are RSS feeds?
It's live headlines. So if a headline breaks on one of the web pages that I've got selected, it pops up on my desktop.
RSS. Okay.
Yeah. And I get those from, I've got about 100 different sources on my computer, Reuters, AP, MSNBC, CNN, Drudge, most of the major sources on there. I'm probably going to add a couple of the ones your guest is talking about.
Yeah, that's all right. And then what?
And then in the background, on my television set, I like to have CNN and MSNBC on picture-in-picture, and I flip back and forth depending on what's on.
I think he's trying to get your job, Dave, or your former job.
Well, yeah, when you're talking to a public radio audience, by definition, you're going to get a disproportionate number of those who are political nerds like the caller and me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, well, what about this poll that's not necessarily a public radio listeners that was done by the UW-Madison Political Science Department and WIS Politics? Had a lot of information on where we go to consume news. One of the findings, and there were many, was that a lot of us, according to this, a lot of the general public still depends a lot on local TV news. That it's one of the biggest sources that is at least watched every day.
Local TV news is probably the single most consumed news medium. That's as opposed to network or cable TV.
Mm-hmm.
It is also the dumbest, the stupidest. It is constantly talking. I've summed it up in the past as happy, simple truths for happy, simple white folks.
Yeah, so is that so? We're all watching, or a lot of people are watching local TV news because we're dumb? Or?
Not many of those who tune into a service like WPR. And if I sound elitist, so be it.
How about this? Is that's the only place they're going to get at least some local coverage? Maybe people care about the school board.
You don't get local publishing. Mm-hmm. You get what's the latest threats to cats and cute little puppies.
All right.
And I know your husband anchors are such a show.
Yes, he does. A morning show. A morning. But you know what? That it did say that the this poll also found that people did not watch the morning shows on the network level as much. They not relied upon as much as other sources. Does that surprise you?
You mean other sources
like
TV?
Yeah, no, I mean like
the biggest gainers in audience gainers in television today are the morning local newscasts.
Mm-hmm.
That is, for example,
mm-hmm.
the Fox affiliates that will run in studio shows, or the other network affiliates that will from 5 to 7 precede the the Today GMA and the CBS Morning News shows with 2 hours of what is basically local fluff.
Yeah. Next, we go to Mike in Appleton. Hi, Mike. You're on the air.
Yeah, good morning. A couple of quick comments. My favorite, absolutely number one, and leaps and bounds of, you know, ahead of everybody else was, of course, Tim Russert. And I think the country is, you know, what a shame that he's no longer around. He was so absolutely reliable.
Mike, before you go into your other ones, I wanted to ask you a little bit about that, Dave, in terms of, first off, how important that was, and maybe what you think might happen with his moderator's chair now.
I have to tell you, after the first day, I was absolutely appalled. Others, like Dana Bilbank now, are beginning to say the same thing.
I mean, too much coverage.
Well, it was more than that. I mean, there literally has been no would be no figure other than a sitting president or a recently deceased or a president who'd recently left office, as with Ronald Reagan, that received this kind of coverage.
What it
said was, one of ours has gone, and this really it was almost self-indulgent to a degree that was embarrassing. For 2 days, MSNBC offered nothing but constant Russet tributes. It would have embarrassed him.
Yeah.
Well, as for his quality, now he got a lot of compliments for the way he keeps zeroing in with questions, not letting up. But he was not consistent in that. Arianna Huffington did a weekly column every Sunday on all the things that he had missed. I don't know how many times I caught this guy moderating some show where some Bush supporter would get on and keep talking about the Iraq war being part of the war on terrorism. I don't think I ever once heard him say, but wait a minute, Iraq had nothing to do with terrorism.
Yeah.
Now, when he was good, he was very, very good. When he was bad, I wouldn't say he was horrid, but he really was pretty much like the rest of the folks.
Well, briefly, do you hear anything about who's the likely successor to meet the press?
No, and first of all, there's probably two jobs there. One will be the head of the Washington Bureau, and the other will be the meet the press. Tom Brokaw will sit in this week. There's some talk of him being brought back as the permanent anchor. But there's nobody who really does what he was supposed to do, and I'm not sure he always did, who's on staff right now. My choice would be Chuck Todd, their political director, who's very good, but I'm not sure that he has that much of awareness of him in the general Sunday morning news show viewing to attract much of an audience.
Yeah. Mike, who else do you watch? It says here you've got some other sources.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of disappointed in your guest's comments about Tim Russert because, you know, one has to compare him with what else is available. And, you know, what is the competition, so to speak?
Can I finish, please?
You have people like Oberman, who I mean, they're almost nauseating, and in their you know, they're so slanted towards Obama. That's not a good news source. You have Chris Matthews, who won't let anybody talk. You know, he just talks over everybody. And then on the other hand, you have the O'Reilly type. So Tim was, if from my perspective, he was kind of like the Walter Cronkite of this time.
Yeah.
Well, he was not doing the kind of show that either Oberman or O'Reilly do. I just think he was terribly overrated. There were times he was very, very good at pressing, at amassing the footage that of the previous statements of a guest that showed hypocrisy. But he was not nearly as consistent in that as he's made out to be since he died.
Yeah. Thank you, Mike, for the call. Kim and Wapan, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Well, I get a lot of my political news is obviously from you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you for listening.
I also read Mother Jones, The Progressive, and The Lowdown. I also, on Sundays, I read the JS, and I really watch how our Congress and our state representatives vote. And that's really how I, you know, vote for and hire a president, is by their record and what they did for their city, their state, and the country. And I think people really need to start paying attention to how their representatives are voting on the floor to really get a good look at as to how you're going to vote for a president when they come up to run for president.
Thank you very much.
They were more like the caller, but keep in mind that polls consistently show 50% or less can identify their member of Congress, and I think even a lower figure could name both of their state senators.
Yeah. You know, in our final minute, though, Dave, I don't know, do you think maybe it's a little bit different this year though, with more people getting involved in the political process?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And we're seeing that especially among young voters. Now, for years they said we're going to get out and vote, and they never did. Well, voting among the 18 to 25s was up 60% in the 08 as opposed to the 04 primaries.
Dave, thanks a lot for talking with us. We'll talk soon, I'm sure.
Okay, thank you.
Dave Berkman, retired professor of journalism and mass communications at UW-Milwaukee, talking with us about your favorite news sources. And again, we tried to collect all of your suggestions, and we will post them on our website in a little while, so you can refer back if you heard one and didn't write it down. Our website, by the way, WPR.org. Thanks to Rob Ferret, Karen Prager, and Cynthia Schuster for producing this hour. Thank you for listening and for calling in. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.